Welcome to Encompass Church Podcast. We are so glad you've joined us today. To share your story of what God has been doing in you and through you, take a moment to email us at amen@encompass.org.au. Enjoy today's message.
Life is better in circles rather than rows. In fact, that's what I'm going to be speaking to you about. You know, thank God for the growth of our church and for the various places that we're reaching out, not only in this community, but outside. We have plans. God is burning in our heart desires to plant other campuses, and it will take place. Believe me, trust me, it will take place. In fact, we already have a date for our first one, and we'll let you know about that. We want to reach more people for God. But the reality is, as we grow, you can just simply become a number in the crowd. And that's not our desire. We want every single person to feel accepted and valued, and every one of us will grow. And so I'm going to suggest to you that the church is not just simply rows. Right now, you're sitting in a row. Do you know the person in front of you? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But the reality is that what takes place in circles, everybody say circles, is really, really powerful. I'm going to mention four things very quickly. First of all, in a smaller circle, you have accountability. Let's put it up. Can we put it up? Everybody say accountability, because everybody knows your name. The next one is a sense of belonging. Say sense of belonging, because you are known by those people. They know you and they respect you. The next one is sense of care. Read that, sense of care. You're not just a person in the crowd. Now you have value, and people understand some of the things that you're growing through. The next one is discussion of God's word. Say it with me, discussing God's word. Not only do you hear God's word in a small group or in a circle, but you're able to ask questions, you're able to get answers, whereas on a Sunday you can't do that. But that's a really, really important aspect. And the last one is support. You get support in a circle. Today, I'm going to speak to you about circles. In fact, already we've had 40 people sign up to become involved in a circle. Isn't that great? 40 new people signing up to be part of group life. And I'll be right up front. My desire is that every single person in this church becomes part of a circle, a group of people who are committed to one another, because that is the biblical way that God wants us to grow. We grow in rows, we receive God's word in rows, but in a circle, there is a depth of relationship that is nowhere near found anywhere else. On a Sunday morning, you can come in and out, but in a circle, you can actually get to know the person and they can get to know you, and that is transformation-y in every way. You know, gee, there's so many things I like to say, but I'm conscious of the time. We have so many circles in our church. So what are you talking about? We have so many small groups. We have small groups that meet in the morning and at lunchtime and at night. We have small groups that are men's group. I can see Anthony Tucci started up a men's group. Say hello to Anthony. How are you, Anthony? He's done a good job there. We have youth small groups. We have young adult small groups. We have young family small groups that are called Strength. We have small groups that operate in worship. We have ministry small groups. We have women's small groups. We have community small groups. We got groups that actually are right across the face of this church. And what happens there in the depth of relationships that take place in those circles is absolutely amazing. But you know, sometimes we can jump into circles and at times we can jump out. I'm going to challenge you to jump in to circles, because God's got so much for you there. Maybe you had a bad experience somewhere in a small group, and you think, I'm not going to do it. Can I just tell you, jump back in. The enemy wants to separate you from others, because you are stronger when you are together with others who love God. Say amen. I want you to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and we're going to have a look at what the wisest man on earth said about relationships, and his insight into this subject is really important. I want to give you a biblical base for it. He says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, and by the way, he blows out of the water some of the excuses that we have. I say to some people, you're involved in a small group, they say, oh, you know, I'm just too busy. I've got so many things on. I can't get my schedule together. My wife is doing this and I'm doing that. And there's all of these excuses. Listen, it's not a matter of your busyness. We're all busy. It's a matter of priority. People who are in circles are as busy as what you are, maybe even busier, but they made a decision that they want to be in community. Now listen to what God's word says here. Read it with me. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Have you ever seen somebody fall down and there's been nobody to help them? It's a really sad thing to see somebody fall, trip over. But there is tripping over and there's falling over in many different ways. Sometimes people fall into a financial trap and their life is ruined. And sometimes this marriage falls apart and that's also a collapse in their life. Sometimes it's illness that can affect people. The Word of God says, when you fall, not if you fall, when you fall over, because life is full of unexpected things. When you fall over, is there somebody there? Because if there isn't, pity the man who falls over and he's by himself. And let me tell you, we live in a world where we are surrounded by people. There's lots of people, however, when they fall, there's nobody there for them. But that ought not to be the church of Jesus Christ. That ought not to be the kind of people that we are. And then he goes on and he says in verse 12, though one, let's read this together, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Notice that it changes the imagery. It goes from falling over to being overcome or being overpowered. Today, we might use the word overwhelmed. Everybody say overwhelmed. Have you ever been overwhelmed by stuff? I've seen some of the strongest people that I know being overwhelmed. And I've seen just because of unexpected things that have happened, it just wears them down and wears them down. And unless there was somebody there for them, they were going to collapse. The Word of God says that when you are overwhelmed, not if you are overwhelmed, that if there is somebody there with you, you will do far better. You will do far better when there's somebody standing with you and praying for you and fighting for you, because you will overcome. And this is the promise of Scripture. And then it says this. A strange scripture. In verse 12, it says, a threefold cord is what? Not easily broken. What does that mean? It's talking about a rope. And you know, ropes, the way they work is they've got different strands. The strands are intertwined together. The more strands you have, the stronger the rope. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? But what is it talking about? Ropes? No, it's not talking about ropes. It's talking about relationships. It's talking about circles. There's the intertwining of people's lives together. And when there's more than one, when there's two, when there's three, when there's even more than that, you have a circle of people who are backing each other up, who are there for each other, wanting each other to succeed. And when things occur, there's strength there, there's power there, because it's a threefold cord. There's a circle of strength in God's word, it says here. Say to the person next to you, join a circle. We're going to have some people at the end of the service, and they're going to be carrying a sign. And it's going to say, join my circle. And I want you to go up to them and I want you to ask them, what circle are you talking? What are you involved in? Begin to ask questions. You know, nobody's going to force you to read, but just begin to ask any. There's no obligation. When do you meet and where do you meet? And tell us a little bit about your group. And maybe that's not the group for you. Maybe it's another group. Just put your name down. Or maybe you want to start a circle. Maybe you say, you know what? I don't only want to be in a circle. I want to start. Let us know. We'll start circles with you. We'll have a circle here, a circle there, a circle there, a circle everywhere. We're going to have circles everywhere, circles of people. Are just in relationship and in community that love one another. Let me just put out a statement here, then I'll explain it. Group life, say it with me, group life is preventative. And what I mean by that is that when you are in a community of people, in relationship with them, not only can they be there when you fall over, and sometimes stuff happens, not only will they be there when you are overwhelmed, and you will have those experiences when you are overwhelmed, but they actually can help prevent some of the stuff actually happening in your life because they see it coming. Everybody say, see it coming. Have you ever said, I saw that coming? Yeah. Don't nudge anybody here, by the way, because we'll start to figure out who you're talking about. But have you ever been in somebody's household and maybe you have older children, and you see the way they're disciplining their children, you see the what's happening in the family, you walk in and you go, this is not good. This is not going to end well. Have you ever had that experience? And you've thought to yourself, the way they treat their kids. I remember a number of years ago, we had a particular gentleman. He's a member of our extended family. And we would walk into his household. And look, he was a good man, but he was a very harsh man. Maybe it was the way he was brought up. And he just, his son, he was particularly harsh on his son. And he'd bark out all these orders. And the poor boy couldn't do anything right. Do this. And you're not holding your fork right. And you're not sitting at the table right. And you know what I felt like saying? Leave the boy alone. You're badgering the poor fella. And it's like he just couldn't see it. He couldn't see it. And then he would treat the other kids without him knowing. He didn't do it purposely. I don't believe his heart was wrong. His motives were okay, but he couldn't see that he was treating the other children with partiality and treating a little boy not as well. And I tell you what, we could see it coming, couldn't we? You know, the sad thing is, it's exactly what happened. The boy grew up to be a teenager, and now there's all sorts of problems in that household. We saw it coming. And you can see things coming. Because of your experience, you're able to help other people if they will let you. Let me give you a couple of other illustrations. Have you ever been, you visited somebody, and there's a husband and wife, and they're interacting, and the husband is the way he's talking to his wife, and he's being quite aggressive and dismissive, and you think to yourself, and the wife is trying to interrupt and say, don't do that, and he's not listening to his wife, and he's probably thinking, oh, she's just a whinger, and what is it about men who think that? They're just whinging and complaining, but you see it coming. You think, this is not going to end well. It's not going to end well. You see it. Say it with me. You see it coming. Or maybe it's the other way around. Are we allowed to say that? I just picked on the guys. Can I pick on the girls for a moment? Is that acceptable? Yeah, I am anyway. Who cares? Or maybe it's just the girl. Maybe it's the wife and the way she's talking to her husband, and she's dismissive of him always interrupts him and tries to finish his sentences all the time. Don't do it, girls. Don't do that. And it's the poor guy can't get a word in, and you think, this is not good. I can see it coming. You see, we can see destructive patterns taking place because of our own experience. And the fact is that people can see things in our own lives that we can't see because we're blinded by them. But the beautiful thing about a circle of people who are in connection with one another, and over a period of time, they build respect and trust in each other, that one of them can actually speak up and say, listen, you know, it can be one of those awkward conversations. And say, listen, this is rather awkward, but you know that I wouldn't say this unless I was concerned. Don't do what I did. I did that. I treated my wife like that. Don't treat your husband like that. Don't do that. Because that would cause all sorts of problems. Don't sweep these things under the carpet. Go and get some help. You know what you've just done? You saved them a lot of pain. You've just prevented a whole lot of problems. That's the beautiful thing about community, about a group of people who truly love one another. You're not there to tell other people off, but you're committed to each other's success. And when that happens, it's like a family. It's a beautiful thing that God's word tells us can bring strength into our lives. In fact, the Bible says, better are the wounds, let's read that, better are the wounds of a friend than the deceitful kisses of an enemy. If you've got somebody that you trust, somebody that you respect, and he points out something in your life, don't dismiss it very quickly. Listen to what they have to say. Maybe they're right, and it can save you, as I said, a whole lot of pain. All right, let me talk to various people here. Let me talk to those who are single. Let me talk to those who are college students. Those of you who are single and college students, can you lift up your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you, please. You know, every time I say this, they all get embarrassed. Can you lift up your hands? You haven't done anything wrong. Why aren't you lifting up your hand? Why aren't you lifting up your hand? Why aren't you lifting up your hand? Why aren't you? Oh, the whole row. You're married. You're okay. You're okay. You're married too. All the single people. Come on, all the single people, all the college students. Let's give them a big hand. We love you. They're in every one of our services. I don't mean to be offensive, but I think I've been down the road just a little bit longer. You can see that because I'm 39. But you know that sometimes there is a reason why you're struggling in relationships, forming deeper relationships. Maybe there's a reason why you're finding it difficult to find a life partner and you can't see it. Because otherwise you would change it. It could be that you become cynical. Maybe you've had a few bad experiences with people, and all of us have had some bad experiences with people. And what we do is we become cynical and we push people away. And we let people only come in a certain distance and they say, you just back away. And so people can't really get to know us and you can't see it, but other people can. And said, you know what's happening here? You're pushing people away. Or maybe because it's the fact that you've developed some destructive attitudes. Let me tell you, those destructive attitudes will follow you straight into other relationships. I'll tell you something that other people haven't told you. There is no such thing as a serious marriage problems. The reason why that marriage problems collapse is because we got single people that didn't deal with stuff back there, and then they bring it into their marriage. And all the marriage people, come on, married people, say something. Say amen. Say yeah. Don't look at your wife. Don't look at your husband, for goodness sake. Don't do that. Say moo. Say something. Help me. Help me here. It's true. People won't tell you that, but that's the reality. We bring some of this stuff in. But if we had dealt with it, somebody would have spoken into our life kindly and gently, and not because they're trying to make a point, but if they're saying, look, you know, you may not see this, but with great compassion, they would have helped us and helped us, saved us a whole lot of pain, a whole lot of pain. Single guys, here's something I want to put up on the screen for you. Maybe you haven't seen one of these things for a while. You know, you're saying to yourself, oh, you know, I don't seem to be able to get a date. You know, I don't see. Mate, you got bad breath. Nobody's telling you that, but everybody knows about it. Or maybe you got bad odor. They can just smell you coming into a room. You see, you're not going to listen to mum and dad, are you? You know, we don't know. What's my mum and dad know? They don't know anything, you know. But when there's somebody, you've got a mate. Somebody who, you know, who can be straight with you and yet loving with you and say, hey, pal. Mate, when was the last time you had a shower? You're killing me here. They're going to save you. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody will tell you the truth. They're not meaning to harm you. They want the best from you. Amen. All the girls said. Whoa, that was a big amen. Now, single girls. There's no pictures for you. I'm smarter than that. I could see some guns coming out here. No pictures for you. No. All I'm trying to say, if you're single, single guys, single girls, the best thing that you can do to prepare yourself in your future, get yourself in a circle of people that's healthy and wholesome, and they're able to point out some stuff and really prepare you for your relational future. Whether you get married or not, really it's immaterial. That can help you. Amen. Amen. You know, why does that happen? It's because when we get together, there's honesty. There's a group of people who really are committed to one another. A circle. And you open up God's word and you just don't hear it one direction, but in a circle, you're able to ask questions. How does that apply? How does that apply to me as a husband? How does that apply to me as a wife? What does it mean for me as a student? What does it mean for me as an employer, as an employee? How does this all work? And in that environment, you're able to apply. You know what happens? You get wisdom. You get wisdom, and it can just alter the course of the decisions that you're going to make. And instead of going this way, you go this way, which means you go into blessing rather than disaster. It's preventative. Everybody say preventative. It prevents you from stuff. You will never know how much stuff has been prevented in youth, because in youth, they're taught how to love God deeply. They're taught how to make good decisions. You don't know the messes that we have saved here, because they've gone into group, they've gone into revolution, they've gone into this thing called a circle, and people's lives are being transformed. The last thought I'm going to give to you today is that circles are like a superannuation fund. How many of you have a superannuation fund? All right, you need to get one. How do superannuation funds work? They tell you, put a little bit of money early in the piece and keep on putting it in, keep on investing in it so that when you need it, you got it. True? You don't put in money at 60. You put in money at 20 and 30 and 40. You build this bank. And it's the same with relationship. You invest in them early so that when you need them, they're actually there for you. Not when you're in crisis, but when you actually need them, because you have invested in them, they have invested in you, and now you can draw from them. You know, some of the most difficult calls we get as a church is when people are in crisis. Sometimes we get calls of marriages in crisis. They're in financial crisis, maybe parental crisis, kids are leaving, all sorts of problems. It's disastrous, you know, we get this phone call. And one of the first questions that we ask when we get a person in crisis is, are you part of a small group in our church? Are you part of a life group? Do you know, sadly, that 90% of the time they're not? Because I'll tell you something, this is what I've discovered. When you are in relationship with people, the first person that you call is not the pastor. The first person you call is that circle of people. Because they love you, they know you. And then we get to hear about it. Already the group is in action. They've already started a whole bunch of things. And we go, oh, really? I didn't know that. And then we come in. I remember when Jason and Alyssa, I saw them here. I don't know. Jason was like, I don't know. It's like, he's here, he's there. It's like the Scarlet Pimpernel. I don't know where he is. But they came back from America. But just before they, as you know, before they went there, they were involved in an accident, and quite severe accident. But because they have invested in a ministry team, and they've invested in them, and the team has invested back, immediately after this accident occurred, the team just sprung into action. And so they're getting phone calls. They're getting SMSs. They're getting phone calls. They get flowers are delivered. Food is being organized. Because, you see, they invested early into a circle. A circle of people. And now the circle is investing into them. Say amen. It's really, really powerful. Really powerful. Now listen, that's why we want every single person in this church to be part of a circle. Every single person to be part of a circle. Now if you ring us, and even if you're not part of a circle, we'll look after you, absolutely. We're a good church. We're a great church, actually. In fact, we don't have a bad self-esteem at all. We're really a good place. In the right sense. We do our best. And people, they will counsel you. They will pray with you. They will visit you. They will be there for you. But let me tell you something. Even on our best day, when we do that, we're nowhere near as good. We're nowhere near as good as a circle of people who love you, who know you, and you know them. These people know your family. These people know your children. They know where you live. They know what's wrong. And they will gather around you. For God's sake, I plead with you, for God's sake and for your own sake, get into a circle. Because that's what the church ought to be. It ought to be a place of connection. And maybe you've had a bad experience somewhere else and you've jumped out of the circle. Jump back in again. That's the enemy. It's trying to keep you away. It's trying to keep you isolated. Because when you're isolated, you're vulnerable. But when you're together, you're strong. And so at the end of the service, find out about circles. We got a whole bunch of them. And maybe you won't fit in one, fit in another one. Put your name down. Circles are powerful. And so let me just summarize. I love Rose. I love Rose. I love when we get together and there's a full family here. You know, you're a family. And sometimes I say, where's the family? Where are they? When they're missing. What are they doing? This is family. We come together and we celebrate and we hear good things and we worship God. It's wonderful. And don't miss on that. You mean you were blessed. We're blessed with the presence of God. We're blessed with great worship leaders. I think we need to put our hands together. We're blessed with children's leaders. We're blessed with all sorts of things happening. You know, we got 480 people serving in this church, people who volunteer their time. We are so blessed. You're blessed with great preaching. I mean, come on. I don't see all of you clapping. Clap more. It's my birthday. We do our best. But you need to be not just in a row. You need to be in a circle. A circle can save your life. A circle can save you from a lost eternity. You will need a circle. Not only do you need a circle, other people need a circle. It's not just what you receive, it's what you give to others. It's like a flow from God. You receive and you give. You receive and you give. You're not meant just to always receive. You need to give to others. You understand? Get into a circle. And at the end of the service, I'll say it again. Say hello to these people. They're good people. They're serving God. Just say, hey, what are you doing? Have a conversation with them. Where do you meet? Ask questions. And ask God. Say, God, some of you, it's time that you get back in the circle. Some of you, it's time that you start to serve in God's house. You've been hurt by other churches. It's time to get back in. We're a safe church, friends. And we will serve you. But you've got a lot to contribute. Let's pray. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you today for your presence, even in the house. Thank you for the love in this house. Thank you for your presence in this house. We sense your spirit right across here, drawing us closer to you, to know you, to love you, but also drawing us closer to one another. We pray, Father, that we'll be like the early church that met not only in the temple, but in homes and in all different sort of places, in circles of community. Lord, we pray that there will be people that when we fall, that they will be there for us. And when we are overwhelmed, Lord God, they will stand with us and we with them. Lord, we pray that there will be people who will speak into our life and we with them together. We thank you for Rose. We thank you for what we experience here. But Lord, we pray, as you intended, every single person in a circle, in a circle, in a community, intertwined to the strength of God, we ask in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Everybody said amen. Amen. Let's worship God.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Encompass Church. If today's message has impacted you and you want to give your life to Jesus, if you need prayer or if you want to get connected to the church, please contact us at office@encompass.org.au. Never miss a moment by following us online. Search for Encompass Church on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.